You had to kiss one Street Fighter.
Why just one?
Let's say you had to kiss. Let's say kiss, date, marry.
Okay.
Okay.
One Street Fighter.
I like your version of this so. Can I just say the usual version of this game requires me to commit murder, perform adultery, and then also remarry.
I mean, I would argue that kissing is a form of adultery.
It's all bad. Like
It's all bad.
This one's not going to put me in jail, you know?
They'll put me in the doghouse.
Well, all right.
I think the kiss is an easy answer.
Okay.
Kiss. I got to go with the most electric kiss in the bunch, Blanca.
Blanca, now, kissing Blanca would be great. And you can't do any of the others with Blanca. You can't have sex with Blanca. You destroy you, rip you.
You fucking smash you to pieces.
You just get caught in that chest hair is what you would do.
You would get lost in that chest hair and lost in those eyes. I would say Vega for kiss because that way I could do it on the mask and it wouldn't be...
Oh, it wouldn't count as adultery. That's a good loophole.
That's beautiful, cheating. Griffin.
Next trick, next trap, please. I dodge, sidestep that one.
Okay.
Date.
Akuma?
Ugh,
really?
No, he seems like a bad person.
He spends so much time tying that rope around his waist.
You know, after this game, I think I'd like to date Luke. He seems supportive.
Holy fucking shit. I want to know how I want to know why his head and face and body ended up the way it did. And so there's probably a lot of great stories there.
Yeah.
Great stories.
Great on a first date. Great on a first date.
This man's forearms looks like one juicy Thanksgiving turkey each forearm. He looks like he has Mega Man X busters, but flesh. He has flesh busters.
I'm gonna crush this last category super quick.
Okay, Mary.
The M stands for Mary. You gotta marry M. Bison.
Mary Bison, yeah.
Mary Bison will protect you.
Yes.
He will look out for you. You will rule alongside him.
Well, here's the question. Are you gonna try to change him?
Never! The day you married M. Bison was the most beautiful day of your life. And it was also very beautiful for me because we're in a loving, committed relationship and I will treasure the memory.
It was a Tuesday, but don't get it twisted. A really special Tuesday for M. Bison. I love you so much, Justin.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin Bison, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Ross Frostrick, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It is a video game club, pals, and just by listening, I'm excited to announce that you've become a member. Today we're talking about Street Fighter VI. Chris Plant is not with us currently. So I would love to hear Russ Frostick tell me, what is Street Fighter VI?
Street Fighter VI is the sixth installment, but it's not. It's like the 63rd installment of the Street Fighter franchise, which, if you're not interested in fighting games, hang tight, because it's got some weird shit in here that I think you might dig.
Because guess what? We aren't either.
Yes. And but we are still going to give a positive review of this.
Yeah, we're still very jazzed about this game. Hey, so stay tuned. Get pumped.
You shouldn't have to spend $1 million billion just to talk to your loved ones. But that's what these corporations want you to have to do it. Because if we are not able to talk to each other, we're weaker and it's easier for them to take over. And I know that these are maybe some troubling thoughts, but Mint Mobile is here to help you out with that. Because for a limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. It's time to, you can organize the rebellion easier talking to your friends and family for just $15 a month with Mint Mobile. To get this new customer offer, Go to mintmobile.com/besties. That's mintmobile.com/besties. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Oh, man. This thing's wild.
This thing is a wild experience that I was not ready for, and I'm so glad it turned out the way
I haven't looked into anything about this game.
No.
And when it started, I was like, this, what?
We should even take a step back and say there was a moment where we weren't even going to do this game because none of us felt prepared to talk about a fighting game.
We don't have any.
And that's still kind of true.
Yeah, that's not, that hasn't changed.
What is notable about Street Fighter VI is how it is geared for folks like us, at the very least in its completely bonkers open world single player campaign mode, which is, we should say, we did not have access to the online
we didn't play Street Fighter VI against another human being.
So please take everything we're about to say with an enormous grain of salt. If you are the type of person who plays fighting games, just maybe even this episode's not for you. And there's lots of other ones I'm sure that are, because we didn't play against other human beings. And from what I understand, fighting game freaks love that shit.
Yeah, they like fighting others.
We exclusively had access to the World Tour.
That what it's called?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm confusing it with the...
Yeah, it's just called World Tour. I just looked it up.
I think it's just in one city, but yeah.
No, baby, you go all over the world. You're out of your mind.
Are you kidding? Did you not go to Jamaica?
Did you not go to fucking Italy?
London? You went to Italy, right?
You got to go to Italy to see the lion.
To Italy.
Tell me at least you made it to Italy.
I blew it. I'm sorry.
You must have really not played very much.
Is Italy where you meet Mario and he teaches you his moves?
Unbelievable.
Okay. When you're playing the game and you do the training, you're just like a young pup hanging out with Luke. And he's like, hey, you want to get strong? Here's how you do it. You can run on three axes. And I was like, whoa.
That makes me want to barf. That's crazy.
Why can I? This is Street Fighter. Why are you letting me do this? And then it turns out it's because the single player campaign is like this big open world of fighting.
Yeah. It's set in a parody of New York.
Yes.
And you can go just run around, and there's people, and they're like, there's like a mime on the street, and there's like someone drinking coffee, and you could just run up to them and be like, I'm gonna kick the shit out of you, and they're gonna be like, hell yeah, and you have a fight, and then you level up.
We should also mention, it's not just a parody of New York City, it's fucking Metro City, which is the setting of the Final Fight games.
That's true. And Mike Hagar is still the mayor.
Mike Hagar is the mayor.
We're building a statue in Mike Hagar's honor.
Can you imagine if there was a statue of an existing mayor?
He's been the mayor for 30 years. He's the greatest mayor we've ever had.
He is a despot, but we love him.
We love him. We stand this despotic leader.
We stand this unproblematic despot. Man, okay, so the vibe of this game is fucking, I would say, a little bit of Jet Set Radio, New Jack Swing, fucking Persona 6.
It reminded me
Persona
of
Persona 5, rather.
It's like, it's kind of like
Yakuza is what it reminded
me like,
of.
It reminds me of like intentional Shenmue. An intentional Shenmue. Like it's kind of, the world is threadbare. And like, I think it's important to distinguish from like real open world games, right?
Yes. Yeah, this
is not
GTA.
A vibrant world filled with detail and like living, breathing characters.
You can drive those cars, no, you can't.
No, you can't even jump, buddy.
No, well, you can uppercut to gain height.
That's true.
That is something
you can
that
do.
You
a
need
spinning
to do.
Bird kick to get from rooftop to rooftop
and to break signs.
Okay, so
this
first time
I went up to somebody who's like, just a guy selling pizza.
Uh-huh.
And you can challenge someone to a fight, but you can also just like spinning bird kick right into them and give yourself a tiny advantage and the fight has begun. You can do that to almost anyone.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's so funny.
So you can fight most people in this city. And when you do, it immediately snaps to a 2D, you know,
classic Street Fighter
style fight. Each character that you can fight against, you can check out their like details and see every character has rewards that you can get from the fight by completing certain objectives. So it'll be like,
oh, I don't think I knew that part.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Russ. How much of this
game
did you
play, pal? I saw
that
they were wearing hats, and I wanted the hats, but I didn't know how to get the hats.
Okay, okay.
Now, think more like consumables, usually.
I got some energy drinks and stuff one time, but...
You can get XP, you can get Zenny, which you spend on buying new clothes, which does have stat upgrades. There's leveling up and skill point. Like, there is some RPG... There's a lot of RPG trappings here, so which is a little bit frustrating, because then when you find Chun-Li... And Chun-Li's like, let me teach you. You can be like, okay. And then you learn Chun-Li style, which you just equip to your character, and all of a sudden you're my dude, who was just a perfectly cylindrical beef boy, now is moving like Chun-Li and has all of Chun-Li's moves, which is very, very good. But then you try to fight Chun-Li. She's like, let's spar. And she's level like 50, and she fucks you up, and you don't stand a chance, which is very not Street Fighter, it feels like.
Okay, but this is, I want to talk about this, because this is actually the change that made this work for me, among many changes where this like actually clicked, where so many don't. When I can still have a good experience, right? A good fighting experience where I can practice and not get overwhelmed. And the only change in so many of these games, right? Like almost any other genre like this, where you have like a narrative, there is that power fantasy of like growing in strength.
Right.
And I think that being able to do that while you're practicing learning like the basics and stuff, so you aren't constantly frustrated and you can focus on building your skills without constantly worrying about like, am I going to win? Does it matter if I win this or lose this?
Mm-hmm, right.
It put me in a much better headspace, I think. And it also allows them to have these like big legendary Street Fighter characters in the game, and you don't just like beat them up first time, like they are going to beat you.
Yeah, it kind of stretches out the experience. And what's, I think, the very satisfying thing of that growth curve is that as you're meeting these characters, you're sort of doing a best of character where you're like picking and choosing the special moves from different folks.
Yes, that's the coolest part of this mode is you have, they're called masters, and you learn from them, you become their pupil, and then you equip their style, and that basically informs like how your character moves and what their basic suite of moves is. But as you level up your like apprenticeship under these different masters, you basically unlock their special moves and, you know, super moves to use when you are studying under a different master. So you could have, you know, Luke's crazy uppercut with Chun-Li's spinning bird kick. And being able to mix and match those is fucking fun. It's really, really good, because every Street Fighter character has fun stuff they can do, but I've never felt a particular attachment to any, except maybe like E Honda and original or Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, because I loved Thousand Hand slapping people. But now you can do that and have Hadouken on the same character.
Well, and also you could be, it's regardless of like your character, whatever, body type. So you can be this tiny little person doing the like head dive of E Honda, and it looks fucking hilarious.
It's so fun.
I want to actually talk about the character creation, because, I mean, you guys are the experts of character creation. Well, it's certainly extremely robust.
It's very robust. I will say that making your body and head and face and tattoos and scars and all that jazz, you could really get pretty nasty with it. And it does give you... I'm looking forward to doing a Monster Factory on this, because it's got a lot of fun buttons and sliders and switches.
It is hard to make someone that looks good and normal.
Yes, I will say.
I mean, you can use the presets and get kind of close.
If you're a coward, but if you'd like to get in there...
I know, you kind of... If you want to get in there, it gets rough real quick.
I basically made like a 6.5 foot tall, incredibly strong me. Modeled him after sort of... Adam Driver's shirtless scene in The Last Jedi.
Oh, so high like, pants.
This is a perfectly just sort of wide man. Yeah. I went to the fucking, I went to J. Crew and put a t-shirt on him. And the way that clothes fit on any character just is cartoonishly bad and wrong. They don't want you to have clothes. That's my main issue is like when you start the game.
Rip's Justin McElroy has this leather jacket that goes up to his ears. It's so
no shirt. But that is the heartbreaking thing I would say about the character creator is that there's like 10 clothing options at the beginning of the game. And that has incentivized me to keep pounding through the story and unlock more clothing stores. But I do wish that they gave you a little bit more keys to the kingdom. It's not like, you know, if you're expecting sort of Soul Calibur 6 level where you can, you know, put a fucking cube on a certain part of your man's like chest to make him look like Pepsi Man or whatever, like that ain't it. But it is silly and it's as silly and doesn't take itself seriously as any other part of this world tour mode. And that hits all the right notes for me.
The silliness is, it's like, it's very self-aware. It like seems to seriously ask the question, what would the Street Fighter world be like?
Yeah.
Like, what would it be like to live in Street Fighter world? And it's like, it would be wild, and it is like everyone in it is like thinking about fighting usually, yeah. Or talking about fighting, or there's one guy who you have to get a ticket. Griffin, did you do the thing where you have to get the ticket for drone delivery?
No, I had not done that. Is that a subquest?
Where it's like, hey, we have drone delivery, and you can activate it if you get a coupon. And you go to this large man, he's tall and he's wearing a suit, and he's like, oh, you want it, right? Well, guess how you're going to get it? And you're like, all right, here we go. And he's like, you're going to have to ask me nicely. And you're like, what? And you're like, yeah, you're going to have to ask me nicely. And he's like, what? Did you think I was going to fight you? Not everyone who looks like me wants to fight. Some people are just trying to live their lives. And you should stop judging people by their appearances. And then your dialogue prompt is like, can I please have a ticket? And he's like, yeah, no problem. I ran into a guy named Kenny that was dressed like Ken.
Yeah.
He was like, I have all of his moves except for the leg parts because my legs don't move that way.
So good. The first like big quest that you have to do is create a counterfeit bag. Like a counterfeit Prada bag. And the way that you do that is you find a counterfeiter who can make it. And then he's like, I need two pieces of leather. The big burly dudes down in the alleyway have it. And you go down there, and one of them is just like wearing a leather jacket and leather pants. And he's like, you want some leather, huh? Well, then you're going to have to strip it off my body after kicking my ass. And then you do it, and you take the leather back to the guy, and he's like, now we need a buckle. You need to fly to Italy and get this special buckle from a special Street Fighter character who makes buckles. And you fucking fly to Italy and meet this new Street Fighter character who makes buckles. And she kicks your ass, really stomps you on the ground. She's like, you did good, though. Here's a buckle. Do you want to learn how to fight strong? It's so stupid.
It's very judicious about how it uses the heavy hitters, if you'll pardon the expression, from Street Fighter. I'm not someone who's been following this. For me, like, my awareness of Street Fighter characters ends at 2, right? Like, I think they know that as well,
as a lot of people only know the Zangiefs and the M. Bisons of the world.
Well, they really hold them close to the vest. I mean, it takes a long time. I mean, it takes a while before you meet Chun-Li. And she's
within a half hour, right?
Right. But then after that, like, it takes a good chunk until you meet another one of these, like, big beloved characters, or at least it did for me.
So, do you think Ryu is like the shadow king of the town, that he's actually pulling the strings of Mike Hagar? Because
I've not seen hide nor hair of Mr. Ryu.
I mean, I haven't met hardly anybody. I mean, I've met Blanca and Chun-Li. That's it.
Yeah.
In terms of people and Luke, who I guess is someone, but I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't care for Luke. Wikipedia. At first, and then he kind of grew on me.
Now, is that because his facial features occupy the bottom 10% of his head real estate? And his
I don't judge by looks. It's more a vibe thing, and I thought he had like a Jake Paul vibe at first, but he was so positive about it that I was like, it's kind of working for me.
Very positive.
The first thing he makes
supportive.
You do is you and your like accomplice, who's supposed to like train and travel the world with you, makes you guys go buy stupid fucking matching pink hats.
Yeah.
You go to the clothing store and it's like, buy some clothes. And then there's one hat for sale. And it's like, this is $500. I don't want this. I don't want this,
Luke.
It's part of the training. Get strong.
I would like to talk very briefly about okay, mechanically. This is the area where I think the three of us are least equipped to answer the question. This is a very specific kind of Street Fighter VI episode. I will, if I could, though, I'd like to talk about the modern controls.
Yeah, style. I'd love to talk about the modern controls.
Because that's what I've been using.
Yes, and me too.
So basically, and I don't know, this may be old news. I feel like I've definitely like heard or seen other systems, but basically, you have a special attack button.
Well, let me take a step back because I wanted to talk about what the old, like the traditional Street Fighter moves. Here, traditionally, and really the way it's worked for the last however many games, is you've got three punch buttons and three kick buttons, and each of those is, you know, light, medium, hard attack or fierce attack, whatever. So already that's six buttons, and you're not even dealing with like blocking and special attacks and whatever it is. That you're, so when you think about like those arcade sticks in the arcades, that's why there were so many goddamn buttons, is because every single input had its own button dedicated to it. Modern changes that.
So with modern, you have, there are like three main attacks, light, mid, and heavy. And then those are like for Xbox controls, they're like X, A, B.
Yeah.
And then on the Y, you've got a special attack. And depending on what you are holding with that is what move you will do. And
that's Smash Brothers style. Like yeah. down special.
Yeah, and it's programmed in the menu. So you go in and you choose, when I press down and Y, I want spinning bird kick to happen. When I press Y, I want Blanka's electric shock to happen. There is, I feel like, and maybe this is known, but it feels like a little delay to kind of mimic the pushing of buttons. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I didn't have it like instantly trigger every time I did it. It could have been animation frames finishing, I guess, but it was a little bit hit or miss for me.
That might make, yeah, that from a balancing standpoint, because you're a quarter circle button press wouldn't be quite that quick.
Exactly right.
There's also if you hold right trigger and use the attack buttons, it does an assisted combo.
Yeah.
And so you can also set those up in like your like equipment screen for your character, and you will sort of seamlessly, you know, combo your enemy, but you can also make it so that you do a special attack at the end of the combo, and you can set that. Or if you hold right trigger and use like heavy attacks, you'll do a bit of a heavy attack combo and end it with a super move if you have your
the combo thing is crazy, because combos have existed in Street Fighter forever, but you really just had to remember, oh, if I hit punch kick mid kick, then that was like, that would be like a good string of attacks that they wouldn't be able to react to. And I literally have never been able to remember any of those.
No.
And this is just hold the trigger down and hit a button a bunch of times, and you will spit out what is an effective combo, which is super smart.
Now, what is interesting about it, at least for me, is that it takes a lot of stuff off of the plate.
Yeah.
So that you can actually learn the stuff that you don't know and no games ever teach you. And it's really smart about how it breaks down into like very small chunks via side missions. It's like, I want you to do three, you know, air combos on me, and do three moves that start with an air attack and then combo into regular attacks. And you need to show that you can do it. But by breaking it down to that level, I felt like I'll give you a good example. When they talked about the air attack thing, it said, wait until the last moment to do your air attack, and that will let you chain it to other attacks. That's probably like 101 stuff that I have just never been exposed to. Like I've never been taught. And I feel like this is like one that I could actually, when I'm learning those like staples, you know, I don't need to be worrying about like quarter circle, up, down, left, right. You know, like it takes a lot of that stuff off the plate, so you can learn how to use these things once you do know how to implement them. And that's like, it's so much more rewarding for somebody who like hasn't been part of this scene. Like I really feel like I can understand, at least chunk it out to where it's like, okay, when is a good time to like advance and retreat and block and, you know, that basic stuff.
It's also designed specifically for an Xbox controller, which the traditional Street Fighter controllers, or whatever, a normal modern game controller, because the traditional Street Fighter controls are not for that. They require too many buttons that you don't have, and that's why a lot of people buy fight sticks and stuff like that. But these modern controls specifically are designed around what a modern controller is. Now, people might be saying, oh, that seems unfair that you've got the modern control option. You don't have to remember all this stuff or whatever it is. If you want to turn it off and have like a way higher skill ceiling for the pros, I'm sure they turn it off because it gives them way more opportunities, buttons and combos and whatever they want to do to mix people up. You can do that. But for me, who's not going to be obsessed about frame timing and whatever, it's been awesome. It's been
yeah,
so good.
Yeah. As somebody who does not play a ton of, I mean, a ton of fighting games, but also like we play different games every week almost here. So I can't like invest the time. But like this is just fun right away. And even if I never got into the, even if I never got into the like, versus stuff, which I you know, I'm sure that I would instantly get my shop wrecked. No questions. I have no idea. But it's a very like rewarding single player experience. It's really funny. It looks nice. Like it's goofy. The effects, I mean, sorry.
The effects look great. The characters look
It looks like a Dreamcast game.
yeah. That's Russ, that's wild. But I understand what you're saying. The effects are cool. I think all the characters do look wild. Blanka is hysterical. Yeah. Blanka has like this huge, it's like deadbeat dad energy that they brought to Blanka, which is just wild. He looks like Sean Penn in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It is wild. But
did
I
he
really,
always have overalls? Was that a thing?
I think so. I think torn pants. Was
yeah, he used to have torn pants, and now he's got kind of the overall look.
But there's like these special drive moves that you can do, where you're like, it becomes like a lot of like paint effects. I guess would be.
Yes.
I don't know how you would describe it, but it is. The effects are cool. I mean, the world itself is pretty flat, I would say.
Have you countered a drive move with a drive move yet? A drive move is like it uses your special drive bar resource, right. and you can use that to... I mean, you use it up when you block, I think.
Yeah.
There's like several different ways that you use it. And if it runs out, it puts you in this vulnerable state. But you can also use it to do a pretty strong move that I don't, is it unblockable or it, oh, if they block it, it like chunks their own drive bar a bit. So there's like a lot of sort of strategic ways to use it. But the best thing you can do is if you see someone using a drive move on you, you have like a split second where you can hit them back with your own drive move to cancel it. And it looks fucking rad every single, and it feels amazing every single time. Again, this is one of those things where we haven't played the online multiplayer, so I don't know how like effective that is against other human beings or how easy it is to pull off. I imagine much harder. But I am existing in this state of pure bliss in this single player mode that they have created, which is like again, we are, this is not our genre, always my favorite shit in a fighting game.
Whether yeah, like and there, and there haven't
toe ball
been
number one or whatever it's called, or I love fighting games when they sort of stretch the boundaries of the genre, and this one stretches it a shocking amount.
Yeah, Soul Calibur had a good one, or one of those, sure. Soul Calibur's two or three or something had like a fun adventure through, but this is like way more robust than I think I've ever seen in a fighting game.
Yeah, you also can sometimes when you're running along the street, like a crowd of like just ruffians with cardboard boxes on their face will rush you, and then all of a sudden you're fighting five people at the same time.
Yeah,
okay, that gets annoying, if I can say that. Does if you're just trying to get to A to B, there are some alleyways that are littered with 20 people.
Just stay out of those alleyways, Justin. What? You got to be careful where you walk.
Well, some, because there's no jumping, you got to go find a ladder. that does get annoying. It is funny though, because you would expect there to be a point at which people are like, I'm not doing this anymore. Look at him. He's level 20 and I'm level 1 and I'm not doing it. But still, these idiots with the cardboard box helmets sprint up to you, be like, let's go. You're like, okay, pop. Like, oh no, I'm dead. One punch. You literally killed me with one punch. Like, yeah. Move on. Move on with your life.
One of the early missions, you have to go to a barista and just get like an energy drink. And I ran up there, and this was before I understood that you could just fight anyone. And I hit the wrong button and I just started fighting him and kicked his ass like very quickly.
Yeah.
And then when it came back to the game, he wasn't there. And I was like, oh shit, how do I even progress? And then out of the side of the screen, He slowly wanders back in with like a glum look on his face.
It's so funny.
I love it. I did not I played this begrudgingly, fellas, because I did not think, I thought like, this ain't my jam. I'll play it enough to have something to talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really enjoying it. It is landing at it's landing at an unfortunate time, I will say. If this had come out in the middle of a dead zone, I think I would be getting very, very, very into Street Fighter, but with competition from Zelda and Diablo, and you know, there's a new Final Fantasy game coming out in like 2 weeks. That I don't know. It may be one that I'm gonna come back to, but even that is shocking to me.
It feels like if you're in a, like a dorm environment and you can like have a lot of people to play with, and then when they're not around, you could just like screw around in single player. Like that feels like a really good combo to me.
Yeah.
And that combo is easy to pull off.
The Street Fighter's punches.
All right. We are going to take a break and then we'll be back with more discussion of great video games.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now is the best possible time to create a website, a web page, a place on the web, whatever you want to call it. You need a home for your stuff. Maybe it's because you have a store, a business, and you want to be able to sell stuff online. That's great. Squarespace makes that easy. They have seamless checkout for customers, simple, powerful payment tools. They accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, whatever you want. You can upload video content if you're into that sort of thing. Maybe you like playing video games. Maybe you like to stream, collect an archive, throw it on a website. But frankly, I think everybody should just have a web space to be themselves. Do whatever you want. Maybe you want to post images of, I don't know, your family. You can share it with friends. Maybe you have art that you want to like be able to just keep. Maybe you just want a place to document your ideas. Remember blogs? You can just write things on the internet and nobody can tell you no. Definitely not Squarespace. In fact, they'll tell you yes. They will say, how can we help? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. You go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And you can use the Squarespace Blueprint. It's a guided design system that'll make it all easy for you. When you go there, when you're ready to go and launch this thing, squarespace.com/besties, and that will save you 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So get that free trial at Squarespace, squarespace.com/besties. We'll see you on the internet.
Street Fighter, of course, like probably as much as it's probably tied for first, but like it feels like a very arcade experience, like especially for people of a certain age, seeing Street Fighter 2 machines in arcades was like practically ubiquitous.
Like, yeah, I kind of want machine. Like if you go into a Dave and Buster's now, is there like a Street Fighter 5 cabinet?
You know, I don't know that I've seen one. Dave and Buster's doesn't really specialize in that.
Most arcades these days do not have video games in them. Like it is very, very rare to see a video game.
It's like Gator Golf and shit.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Which is a shame. Are we going to talk about our arcade jams? Like our number
one? Yeah, please.
I mean,
grew up in Huntington, West Virginia. You had two options, right? Yeah. Back in the day, there was. Do you remember Griff?
Tilt.
And okay, but older than that, do you remember Goldmine?
Goldmine, yep.
God, if you can find pictures of Goldmine, it's so great. They had like a rock. It's a mall place, right?
Oh, and these are locations. I thought you were naming video games.
No. Rocky had like a rocky exterior, pitch black on the inside, just said Goldmine outside in big letters.
Could have been a strip club, could have been fucking anything from the outside. But then you walk in.
I mean, maybe in the PM it is a strip club.
Maybe. Smoke. I mean, this is an area where like smoking was not only permitted, but I'd say encouraged. Yeah. Oh my God, yes. Check it
Did
out.
You find some pics?
I'm going to show Russ this. I love this. Russ, what was your like childhood arcade growing up?
Sure. My childhood arcade was a place called Sport Time USA in Westchester, New York.
God, that's good.
And it is everything you would ever want it to be. it is definitely the like epitome of dump your kids off for 3 hours and not see them and come back and they're like, you know, filled up with chicken fried whatever and completely broke. It was a delight.
Okay, what was the for me personally, if I walked into an arcade and I had some buddies or bros, literal bros with me, and they had one of the Konami multiplayer beat 'em ups, whether it was X-Men or Simpsons or Turtles, that is usually where I'm going to live.
You guys could field almost an entire squad with just y'all.
Yes, yeah. I mean, X-Men Arcade is like 6-player. Like, it's outrageous. And also, what's funny is that those games haven't aged well for me, because they, the way that they are designed to kind of consume quarters has made it a somewhat unpleasant experience in a, you know, any other environment. But mm-hmm. I still harbor a great amount of fondness for those, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds right. Did you guys fight over, like, you know, did Justin get first dibs kind of character
on characters? I don't know. I feel like I always got the character I wanted, probably because I was the baby.
And
I always wanted Nightcrawler, and so I got him. Nightcrawler was fucking great.
You know, it's funny. We have, like, the ones that stand out to me are the weird ones, like Dragon's Lair, the full-size Mad Dog McCree cabinet.
Oh, sure.
Like, hugely... Like, that was just a huge TV showing cowboys you could shoot. There was this old cowboy game that I recently found footage of where it's like a quick draw kind of thing. And you're like quick drawing on this cowboy, an animatronic cowboy. That was at the Billy Bob's was our other arcade. That had like tiny Ferris wheels and a big ball pit that everyone said a kid died in. But
you worked at the pup. What?
The pub was another... Man, we have a lot of arcade. Yeah, the pub, Family Fun Center.
That was dope for me. We would go there after church because it was really close, and Juice worked there. And I remember a couple times, like, taking some of my church buddies, and you could, like, crack a... Fuck, what was the, Monsters of the Deep or something? It was a Sega
on-rails cool
shooter. I'm gonna have to Google what that fucking game's called.
That was a cool on rail shooter where you're like killing squids and stuff. No, I was hired to be a DJ who would like get the party going on the weekends. It's like a 50s themed pizza place with that served like beer and had an attached arcade. And I was hired to be a DJ to like really get the party going. And I was terrible at it because I was so uncomfortable and I hated all the music they played and I hated everybody who was there. It was really miserable.
So you weren't so much a DJ as like a hype man.
It was a hype man, but you would try to get like you would go get a Hawaiian shirt on and try to get people to do the YMCA. The best one that they ever did was they told me, they said, Justin, the two guys that used to do this, they would do a great Blues Brothers routine and we would love for you to do a Blues Brothers thing. And I said, well, there's just one of me. And they're like, yeah, we'd still like it. So it's basically like this very enthusiastic IRS agent that's like dancing around the pub trying to get the party started to Soul Man.
That's brutal for kids mostly.
I wish. It's for drunk adults to dislike me, I think, mainly.
Probably the better option, quite honestly.
It was called The Ocean Hunter.
The Ocean Hunter.
The Seven Seas Adventure. Fucking great.
I played a lot of Simpsons, I would say.
Oh, Simpsons is good.
Yeah.
They got we have a barcade in Huntington, is Old North up there in Pullman Square. They've got the Simpsons, they got X-Men, they got Die Hard Arcade, which is a good one.
Oh, Die Hard rules.
I enjoy a light gun game, but I used to dig the like House of the Dead, but even that became a little quarter chompy after a while.
What about Revolution X?
Absolutely. But for me, once Time Crisis integrated the foot pedal that let you pop in and out of cover,
that's really fun.
That became my sort of number one go to, like what I will drop quarters on. There is nothing that feels kind of cooler in an arcade than like stomping on that pedal, you know, dropping a few completely identical soldiers and then like ducking out of the way of a rocket before it comes and blasts you.
Did you guys ever beat one? You guys ever beat an arcade game?
I think Turtles in Time I beat once, In you know, I had it on SNES, so I beat it there. But in the arcade, I think I beat Turtles in Time.
I mean, me and my boy Alex White beat the Ocean Hunter that one time that you cracked that shit open and put like 99 credits on it.
Yeah, Tommy Red and I beat Sunset Riders at Shawnee State University.
Oh, that's a good one.
His Sunset Riders felt attainable. Like, you could beat Sunset Riders.
I didn't know
Riders.
Sunset Riders was an arcade.
A lot of corners.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That game rolled. I do want to share my one gambling story.
Okay.
Please, yes.
Okay, so Sporttime USA, there'd be like birthdays every weekend there. Invariably, that's where the birthday would be. And obviously, for a while, they, you know, you'd go and they'd give you tokens, whatever, $5, $10 worth of tokens.
Where are we at? Are we in New York at this point?
Yeah, this is White Plains, New York, I believe it is.
Okay.
If I had to go off memory. And I think it still exists, for what it's worth. So you'd go and you play video games, and I did that for a while, and then after a while I was like, I'm not having like the return that I want from this experience. So I started drifting over to the galloping horses, you know, that
where
you roll the balls and if you get it in the middle.
Yeah.
So that had prizes. So you could actually like spend the free tokens you got from the birthday party for potential prizes. And I remember one time I won, like the first time trying, a Roadrunner from, you know, Looney Tunes. And I was like, the only way to make this a perfect day is to win the coyote. And I proceeded to go on the worst losing streak that's ever happened. And I was basically like sad man at a horse racing facility, just like crumbling into dust as I spent all my tokens. And eventually I ran out. I hadn't won. And the poor like kid, 16-year-old kid who was working the horse rating thing was like, here you go, kid. And aww, I just felt, it was pity. So it didn't feel like a win to me. It was a sad moment.
That is as somebody who has visited a lot of arcades recently since I've had kids. That is like, it's sadly like the vast majority of arcade experiences now are like some version of gambling or some sort. I mean, that is almost all like, and there's some that are diabolical, man. There's the series of where you like drop the coin in the slot. It's pushing. It has like a shelf. Yeah, it's pushing the stuff. There's like a Marvel themed one, and there's a SpongeBob themed one. It drops these special cards. There's a Wizard of Oz themed one. It's like you get one card, it's great. And if you get the whole set, though, you get 2,000 tickets, and there's only one Toto in the whole deck. So you got to like watch for Toto to pop. That's like a overwhelming number of arcade games lately. It seemed to be those.
Yeah, it's just
of,
carny, like scammy carny games at this point.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you have to adapt, right? Because if it's tough for arcades to compete with home experiences.
Yeah.
Right.
You need a unique thing. I mean, Big Fruit Ninja is pretty fun.
I do like Big Fruit Ninja. Can I talk about an arcade game?
Big Space Invaders is fun. I like the big one. If you play Big Space Invaders, that one's pretty fun. Big Pat Man's fun. All the big ones are fun.
There's a game called Lucky and Wild. That was a Namco arcade machine that I've only seen in the wild one time. And you play as two of the just fucking douchiest Miami Vice-style cops driving. One player, Lucky, is the wheel man. So he's driving a car. You have the wheel, you got the pedals, you got all that. He also has a gun. Light gun that you also have to use while driving the car.
This box art is insane.
The box art is the best. The everything about it is fucking wild. Wild, speaking of, is riding shotgun, which is appropriate because Wild doesn't have to drive, just has a light gun. And the two of you drive down streets dishing out sort of outrageously extrajudicial automotive justice while chasing down cars. Lucky has to drive and like keep it on the road and dodge obstacles, but both of you are just blasting away. And it boggled my mind the first time I played this game that you could do both things in one game, and also that nobody else was really doing it. Not until the fucking Starsky and Hutch PS2 video game, which I remember because I bought it because it looked like Lucky and Wild. It is the only other game I know of that sort of did this multi-layer gameplay experience, but man, what a treat that was! What a first and only time I found that in an arcade.
I love Lucky and Wild's box art because it has a picture of Lucky and Wild in the front and center, and beneath them it says Lucky and Wild, the ultimate team, And then at the top left, it has like zoomed in shot headshots of each of them just to make it very clear which one is lucky and which one is wild.
You would see them. You would know in the dark. It was pitch black, like no noise. You can't, you would know which one is lucky from 1,000 miles away.
It's and wild clear. Has a forehead that is like Coneheads level. It's amazing.
It's really good. You can see them in the rearview mirror the whole time you're playing the game. They're fucking stupid faces, grimacing and smiling and looking worried. Or when they go to the, there's a garage you go to between each level where you can spend the cash that you earned in the previous level to fix up your car, where fucking babes like wait on you with cocktails and stuff like that. It is such a bizarre relic of its time. And I can't believe they didn't make more games like it. Hey, can we talk about other video games?
Let's do it. Honorable mentions. Let's jump in.
I finished Zelda.
Oh, God.
You got a problem, bud.
I finished it. I beat every shrine.
What? No, you did. Wait. You did not.
You have a child, Griffin.
I finished Zelda. I beat every shrine. That game's been out for 2.5 weeks. I think that's fully okay to do.
No,
listen,
you're wrong.
We went on tour. I played that game pretty much nonstop while we were on tour, which comprised, I would say, a majority of my playtime of this.
A majority of your playtime.
A majority of my playtime.
Did you just hit a point where, okay, I hit this point sometimes with games where, like, if I'm really deeply into a game, it has a deleterious effect on other aspects of my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, okay. Baby.
I will sometimes, like, I'll be not just like basic stuff like, oh, didn't really hit the gym today. Like, hey, I was mean to my kids and wife all day because I would rather be playing Zelda. Like, I get to a point where it's like, I'm gonna have to just poop sop this motherfucker. So I
did
get out
hit
of this.
That point.
I hit a point with this game. I think I'm gonna do it where it's like, I gotta get this fucker out of my life. It's the only thing I get. Like, I have to just go harder than I ever had. The only way out is through, right? Like,
yeah. Can I be straight with you? Looking at June, I knew I was going to have to do that. For my own sort of mental well-being, I couldn't have this and Diablo and Final Fantasy in my life all at the same time, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait for more people to finish this game. I can't wait to talk about the ending of this game.
Can I just say, here's where I'm at with it. So I know I've said this before. I am still not looking anything up. I'll give you a frame of reference to the fact I'm not looking anything up. I've had only one piece of the climbing gear for like 35 hours or however
never
long.
Never found it. Never found the climbing gear.
I just found one piece and that's it. And it's driving me a little nuts, but that's fine. I'm still not looking anything up. And because of that, I have a vague frame of reference of how big the game is, but I'm so far away from coming close to an ending.
Yeah.
That
cool.
It's fine with me because I'll be like, oh, I'll just play for 2 hours and feel like I did something. And then, but I'm not like rushing to an ending. I know okay. I could just do the story and get to the ending, but like, I want to get everything before I do that. And so I'm going to be playing this game for like probably 6 months, and that's fine with me.
Some people do it in like 2.5 weeks.
I am worried that if I take too far away from it, there's so much.
Yeah.
I'm worried if I get too far away from it or spend enough time away from it, I'll just sort of like, it'll all.
Yeah. It's like a 3 hour, like rebooting your brain to remember how to play these games. So it definitely takes some time.
I think it is. I don't know. I still need to sit with it. I just finished it.
Can I just ask this? So you found every shrine. You used the map, right? There's no way you like actively found every shrine on your own.
What do you mean?
Like, did you look online to find?
So there are a few shrines. I would say maybe the last dozen or so.
Yeah.
I got kind of tired of just kind of
looping the map. And
I built like a. I got my battery like way filled up and found this armor that let me use Zonai devices for huge periods of time. So I would just build these flying machines and go to empty sort of areas of the map and then turn my shrine sensor on and fly around and find stuff. There are lots of shrines that don't show up like that. You have to do
the like crystal
quests.
Ones, I think.
Well, the little
crystal
ones are, there were like maybe one of those that I didn't find, but most of them were like quests where you have to like talk to somebody and solve some puzzle or do something before the shrine will even appear. And so there were, you know, like I said, maybe a dozen of those that I had to go look up. 'Cause again, like I reached a point where my enjoyment of the core loop was not like vanishing, but it was starting to feel a little bit like, you know,
checkbox.
I'd seen it, right?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of wanted to power through it.
I'm having a good time now trying to craft the absolute cheapest like boat or car that I can craft. I don't want tips in doing this, but like if I put one wheel and then just like a shitty wooden wheel on this plank that I found, is this going to be like 3 zonite instead of 9 zonite kind of thing? And that's been really satisfying to me. I'm just like trying to like hoard all my shit.
Yeah. I don't think there's a wrong way to play it, right?
Hey, a lot of my concerns have been ameliorated. As Plant suggested last week, he suggested I start duping some of the resources.
And they patched that out, actually.
What?
They released the patch, which apparently removed all the duping strats.
Yeah, but not updating. Thank you very much.
Nice try, Reggie.
Shigeru Miyamoto. Thank you. Reggie trying to trick me. For you.
I don't know if I'm ready to make any like grand judgments, but I finished it at like midnight one night because I knew I was like in the final stretch and I wanted to see it through, and I was like in my living room at midnight fucking cackling at the ending of this game. It kicks it. I don't know if it's my favorite Zelda game, right? I don't know if it's the best Zelda game. It probably is, but it is without a doubt the coolest and best like ending sequence by a huge fucking margin.
Wow.
And I can't wait to talk more about it, you know, I guess maybe at the end of the year once you guys powered through.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm gonna find all the stuff before I actually finish the story up.
I also want to give a shout out to Barry. Finished Barry and Zelda in the same night, which was very emotionally compromising. Just finishing a lot of really good shit.
And Succession just ended. It's
Succession. That'll be mine. Maybe the consistently best show. Like in terms of like there's shows I like more, and there's shows that maybe hit higher highs, but like it's so well executed, so satisfying, does exactly what it needs to do, has a great sense of what it is from the beginning. If you've been waiting, like you should watch Succession. It is great.
Did you finish Barry, Juice? Because I know you were
I haven't finished Barry yet. I'm close.
Yeah, I'm like 3 episodes from the end as well, so I'm pretty close. But I'm incredibly amazed at his directing talent, Bill Hader's.
Yeah,
really, just like he's
gonna
astonishing.
Have a big. I feel like he's gonna have a gigantic film career.
Like, yeah, I think he feels like the next Jordan Peele.
Style. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I have to. Some of the shit Steven Root gets up to in the last few episodes is like if that man does not win.
Watch Succession, Griffin. It's really hard unless you're watching both, because there's some like, I will say this though.
Steven Root is also in Succession, by the way.
Steven Root is my favorite actor. I've decided
that's
by the way.
Yeah, I think Steven Root is my favorite
actor on the planet. Like I think Steven Root. I'll watch that motherfucker in 8 different things. He's always brilliant. He's brilliant in True Blood. Brilliant in News Radio. Obviously. If you haven't seen him in News Radio, you haven't seen him. He's a genius.
King of the Hill. Amazing voice actor.
God, I love Steven Root
so
much. Steven Tobolowsky is my second, but anyway.
They gave him a lot to work with in the finale.
I'm very excited.
I can't wait.
That is exquisite. Russ, do you have anything?
I mean, it's just Zelda for me. I'm still like, my blind wandering through this world of, you know, craziness. I've almost fully lit up the depths, which has been a satisfying journey. And I fought a big dragon. That was exciting. But yeah, I don't know. I get excited when I finish a set, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to upgrade this set and see what the set bonus is. And there's some wild set bonuses in there.
Yeah,
there some is. Really fun stuff. I just really, really hope that they support this in the way they've supported fucking Mario Kart, which is like an astonishing amount of DLC, because I'd be thrilled to just keep coming back to this. It's like, oh, here's
This already is kind of DLC, though, you know? It's more of like an expansion.
The same map. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It rules. I hope more people play it. I was speaking to a friend of mine who doesn't play a ton of games, but heard so much about Zelda and jumped in, and he found the initial island to be like very railroady and directed, and he wasn't into it. So I would say if you feel the same way, if you're listening, keep going, because I think once you get to the land and they give you way more freedom, you might find the game that way. That's how he experienced it. So cool. I think we did it. I wanted to thank the following people for writing reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts. We have Mozart's Goats, Ultra Pads, and NB Time Lord. Thank you for writing reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts. I guess I'm also recapping the games we talked about. We talked about Street Fighter VI. We also talked about some wild arcade games that we remember. We also talked about Succession and Zelda Tears of the Kingdom and Barry, the television show. What are we doing next week?
Next week, we're going to shout the devil again with Diablo 4. And I'm looking forward to it.
Do we know what each of us is going to be starting as class-wise?
Probably Barbarian. That's kind of my go-to jammer.
Justin? I'll be Wizard.
You're going to be Wizard? I'm going to be Necromancer because I think it matches my body type.
That's interesting.
Russ. Well, I'm looking forward to that conversation, and I'm looking forward to you joining us. Please be sure to join us again next time for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!